It's Monday, March 28th. Welcome to the show. Adam Azer here with Gregor Bannell and somebody sitting in between us right now.
That's right.
Special guest. Special guest today. Jamie Eisenberg.
I feel so special.
We're not doing a mock draft, okay?
No.
We're not doing a fantasy football draft or anything like that. This is our fantasy football writer, Jamie Eisenberg, and the voice, one of the voices of the Fantasy Football Podcast. He does a great job. Second best person on the show.
third in some people's minds.
Yeah. So
fourth, even when you factor in Lauren.
Yeah, absolutely. But no less than third on any given day. Jamie, you're here, and the reason why you're here is because when you're not doing your fantasy football thing, which is year-round, but during the offseason, you go to a lot of Heat games, and you cover the team, and you see a lot of the opponents. And you wrote a column about the Denver Nuggets last week. Mm-hmm. As they lost to Miami, but it was a valiant effort after they lost to Orlando the night before. So I wanted to ask you first about the Nuggets. And the Nuggets right now in the Western Conference, they are the 5 seed. They would play Oklahoma City. They have a 2-game lead over Portland at the 6th spot. What do you think about Denver? How impressed were you when you saw them?
Well, they weren't exactly that impressive that night, and you have to sort of factor in they were at the end of a long road trip. It was a back-to-back set for them coming into that game. But they're one of the best stories, I think, in the NBA. You know, you look at the Eastern Conference, there's so many storylines. The Western Conference, they, to me, maybe outside of Oklahoma City and what has gone on there, I think they're the best story in the Western Conference. You know, you look at what they did in getting rid of Carmelo Anthony. We know about the saga there, how it all dragged out throughout the course of the season. And then when they made the trade and they got back, you know, in a lot of ways, you know, was what was perceived as some spare parts.
Yeah.
You know, but I know, Adam, you obviously being a Knicks fan, Greg, you obviously follow the NBA. You know they weren't spare parts. They were very quality players that in the right system can be successful. And that's exactly what George Karl has done. He has created a system on the fly, which is, you know, as impossible as that can be late in the season. And I referenced this in the column I wrote. We know about the Heat and the struggles they got off to in creating this team. The Knicks got off to or are still in the middle of a horrible struggle in creating their team following the trade. The Nuggets have played better.
Yeah.
And they don't have one guy at the top of the key pounding the ball into the ground. They don't have another guy in a point guard in Chauncey Billups who, while he is good at creating offense and generating and running a team, still they've gotten great play out of their two
point guards are better now. They have
Ty
two
Lawson
point guards who are better.
They're actual
Billups.
Point guards. They're
yeah.
not guys who look for the shot at the
yes.
end of the game. They look for other guys.
The other thing that to me that's most intriguing about the Nuggets is they haven't been healthy. I mean, Gallinari missed yeah. so much time with a broken toe. They've dealt with injuries to Aaron Aflalo, who's going through the hamstring problem now. Wilson Chandler's dealing with an injury right now. And Ty Lawson missed a couple games because of the ankle problem. But, you know, different guys have credited different things. Ty Lawson told me that, you know, our bigs are playing better. We're getting great production out of Nene, out of Kenyon Martin, out of Chris Anderson, the Birdman off the bench. We're getting good defensive overall play is what George Karl says. You know, you look at the way that these guys have come in and play defense. We know Carmelo, it was a challenge for him to play defense. Chauncey was a good defender in that system.
Oh, God.
But, you know, you look at...
Not anymore, is it?
You look at, you know, what they lose a little bit in some size with Ty Lawson, they make up in speed with Lawson and Felton. So, you know, I think this overall team just looks better, is playing better. And George Karl, you know, he's realistic to know that they don't have a superstar, they don't have a go-to guy at the end of games. But they have a system in place that could work, and he says, you know, hey, let's scare the Oklahoma Thunder a little bit. Let's
yeah.
make them worry about us.
So Jamie's going to talk about Denver and the 76ers, who were recently at the American Airlines Arena losing to the Heat on Friday. Then we're going to kick him out of here, and Urbano and I are going to go to work.
The real show will
be. We're
going
to give our awards out. We have the same exact winners for every
yeah.
major award. We'll look at some other things going on around the league and, of course, give our power rankings. And we want to talk a little college basketball, too, as we're down to the Final Four. But real quick on Denver.
Are you allowed to talk college basketball since your team didn't even make the NCAA tournament?
We made the NIT. As long as you made the NIT, sure,
that,
you're absolutely allowed.
Yeah.
What a great night it was on Friday when the Seminoles lost. The Gators lost that night, too? Or
they lost
they lost on Saturday.
We actually made it to the Elite Eight.
Yeah. That's right.
That's right.
Oh, they beat BYU on Thursday.
Right.
Yeah. But it was a great weekend for me to see those two teams lose. So Denver, Oklahoma City, looks like that'll be the first round matchup. You don't give them much of a chance here or what?
I think they'll win some games, you know, but you look at Oklahoma City, what they've done in creating this team with the trade to get Kendrick Perkins, and obviously Durant is a monster right now. You can argue that he's the best player in the West. I mean, you know, the Kobe Bryant supporters will definitely back him. And still, until you see the Lakers lose, it's hard to say that he's not the best player in the Western Conference. But Durant, the way he's playing, the way that Russell Westbrook is playing, you have to love the way that they've played since getting Kendrick Perkins. I just think they're a little bit better than the Nuggets right now. Nuggets are deeper. Oklahoma City's better.
It's going to be a great series. You know, we talked about the playoffs. The second round looks fantastic. This is the first round matchup that you really got to keep an eye on. And obviously, we expect Oklahoma City to hold it down in home court. Traveling out to Denver might be a tough game. Obviously, you know, the altitude up there is a different thing for a lot of teams. So I also expect Denver to take one or two games. But when it comes down to it, I see the Thunder advancing not only past that round, but into the Western Conference.
If they can defend in terms of Denver, they'll be okay because you got to figure J.R. Smith will get hot for a game or two. That'll help them offensively.
They can't defend, though. They can't defend Russell Westbrook. It's a terrible matchup for them.
It is a tough matchup for them. But, again, George Karl's system can work, and I think that's the key for it.
Yeah, it's a shame. They could make a run in the East, maybe. Well, they could get past the first round in the East, that's for sure.
They'd look good if they were in Knicks colors, wouldn't they?
Oh, wait, they were
wearing Knicks colors.
Very funny. Very, very funny. So the 76ers, they lose to the Heat on Friday night, 111-99. But they led that game going into the fourth quarter, and they got outscored 34-17. And the Sixers also lost on Sunday to Sacramento by three. That one is hard to explain. Their bench was awful in that game. But I like Philadelphia. I think Doug Collins has done a great job. Their defense is really good. But they were winning that game through three quarters with the Heat, and I'm thinking to myself, wow, this is a first-round playoff matchup right now. I don't know if the Heat want to see the 76ers, and then the Heat are doing what they've been doing now every game the last couple of weeks and turning it on in the fourth quarter. But what do you think about that game and about the Sixers?
Well, the game itself, I haven't seen the Heat turn up the intensity to that level in a while. You know, you look at the way that they were playing, it was a very unorganized game for Miami. There were a lot of turnovers in the first quarter. And then all of a sudden, the end of the second quarter, middle of the fourth quarter, they just went to a level that Philadelphia cannot match. And that's something that the Sixers talked about. And that's something I'm actually going to write this week, is that, you know, the Sixers are heading into a very difficult stretch run. They have some tough opponents coming down the stretch here in making the playoffs. You know, Doug Collins will say to anyone who asks him, we haven't clinched the playoff spot yet. We're not in the playoffs.
Yeah.
But they're going to be the sixth seed. They're not going to catch Atlanta, and it doesn't look like anybody's going to catch them from behind. So they're going to end up facing, if in fact the Heat do not get to that second spot, they're going to end up with a Miami matchup in the first round.
But you got to think they're going to play the Celtics.
The way everything's going right now,
the Heat are a half game behind the Celtics.
It's actually a game and a half because of the tiebreakers.
That's true.
And there's still one more game to be played between the two teams on April 10th. So that will be a big key for the Heat. But in terms of the Sixers, you know, they have another level that they have to still get to, and I don't think they're going to get there this year.
No, they're not capable.
There's two things that are hindering them. One, which I just found out, Elton Brand is playing with a finger and a hand injury. The way Doug Collins described it yesterday was...
Isn't that like the same thing?
Well, I guess it could be two different hands.
Oh, yeah, it's true.
You do have two, you know. Most people do. Way to insult the one-armed people of the world. The way Doug Collins described it was his hands are bashed up. So it doesn't sound very good. And he did not play well in that game against Miami. Granted, the size of the Heat, which is somewhat overlooked, their wing players are very long, as you guys are well aware, with LeBron James, Dwayne Wade, certainly Chris Bosh. But Brand is probably, on paper, a post player that can score against that team. He looked awful. And then Andre Iguodala is dealing with this knee injury that Doug Collins says he's going to have to deal with the rest of the season. The only thing that's going to cure it is 2 or 3 months rest, and he's not going to get that now. He's going to play through it. He did miss a game, I believe it was 2 weeks ago, in trying to rest the knee, but he's going to play through it. And he just couldn't match anything that LeBron James was doing. And if you can't slow that guy down on one end, you got to at least score on him on the other end. If you're not doing that, you're not going to win any sort of matchup in that battle.
And they get a lot of points off their bench, which is why I would have liked them against the Heat, because I thought their second unit could do a lot of damage against the pathetic second unit. Because even in that game for the Heat, the big three did almost everything, and nobody else had any impact on offense.
I'll tell you what, the Sixers did cut the game down to 4 points at the end there, and then James Jones hit a three. He had three threes in that game, and that's a difference maker for that Heat team is when he's hitting shots, when Bibby's hitting shots, when Miller's hitting shots. Bibby's obviously a starter now, but when those two guys are hitting shots and spreading the floor, you know, they're a matchup nightmare for anyone. And so that's going to be the key. And the one thing for the Sixers is, you know, Lou Williams had a great game. He's obviously their big scorer off the bench. Jody Meeks continues to hit 3-point shots. He's among the best 3-point shooters in the league right now. They went away from Spencer Hawes, who got off to a good start in the first quarter for the Sixers. They tend to do that because they want to go to that lineup where, you know, Brand is basically playing at the center position. But against Miami, if that's the matchup, and I think maybe even against Boston, you need a little bit more size in there. And Hawes brings that to a certain level.
Heat going to win the East?
I don't think they're going to win the East. I think Chicago is going to win the East. You know, you look at what they've achieved to this point. They have the best player right now. Obviously, LeBron and Wade are at a level that most guys can't get to. But Derrick Rose, I mean, you know, you guys saw the crossover this weekend against Brandon Jennings. I think Jennings is still looking for his sneakers. You know, Rose is just playing unbelievable right now. Joakim Noah is going to be a matchup nightmare for Miami. And Luol Deng, you know, he's played against LeBron so much. He knows LeBron's tendencies. You know, he knows Wade's tendencies. You know, these teams matched up a couple years ago in the playoffs when Wade, I believe it was their championship year, they matched up in the playoffs. So, you know, Deng, when healthy, has been really overlooked. Absolutely. From a key contributor to this team. And, you know, to me, a big difference for them is – you know, who's going to get hot? Is it going to be the James Joneses and Mike Millers of the world, or Kyle Korver? I love the way Korver has played
Korver's
this year.
Korver's a big X factor.
He's been a huge addition for them in the offseason. And, you know, that team defense, you know, Tom Thibodeau knows how to coach defense. And, you know, they're in such close games. You know, the one thing with Miami and Chicago is they played a lot of close games this year. Chicago's won them all. You know, Miami will get a couple of those in the playoffs. But, you know, the Heat or the Celtics, they have to play each other. Chicago's going to avoid that as the one seed, and so it's going to be, you know, they're going to beat each other up.
We always overlook Orlando.
Always.
Always do. We'll talk about that more.
Does Orlando really scare you?
As long as they have Dwight Howard, they scare me.
Yeah, but Dwight Howard, if he's hitting free throws at the rate that he's hitting them recently, you know, and they're close towards the end of the game, and they feed him enough. Now, they go away from feeding him the ball in the post, sure, and they try to run offense through other guys like Hedo Turkoglu, but if they stick to that, they stick to running the ball through Dwight Howard towards the end of the game, and he's hitting his free throws, I think they're as dangerous as anybody. I agree with you that Chicago, I believe, will win the Eastern Conference, but certainly not a team that you can overlook.
Don't forget, right, Jameer Nelson got hurt this weekend. That could be tough for them.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, Ginobili got hurt. Tim Duncan's been hurt. The Spurs are struggling. The Celtics are just, like, awful right now. Am I off the bandwagon? We're going to find out, but let's say goodbye to Jamie Eisberg. Thanks a lot, man.
Thanks, Jamie. Bye, guys. Thanks for having me.
Yep. So today, with about 10 games left in the regular season, we're giving out our awards. And I guess they weren't too difficult because Greg and I agree on everything.
Yeah. Unfortunately, we agree on everything. But I think once the fans hear what we have to say, that they also will agree with our selections.
I don't know.
For the most part, I think there might be one award here listed that you know, might be debatable.
Sixth man.
Actually, I don't even think most sixth man is debatable. I think coach of the year might be the one that's debatable.
Okay. Coach of the year. Well, we'll start with MVP. The MVP is Derrick Rose. This guy has been so good, and lately, the way he's shooting his free throws, the way he's executing in the final minutes of the game, best record in the East, championship contender right now, it has to be Derrick Rose.
Absolutely. You know, you look at his numbers, obviously very good, about 25 points per game, just under 8 assists per game. Shooting percentages leave a little to be warranted. I mean, obviously, you know, they're not the best in the league. But really, one of the things that stood out to me when looking at Derrick Rose's stats is that he's even better on games where he has 0 days rest. So when he needs to step up his game,
when he has zero
rest whatsoever, he absolutely rises up. He actually averages 28.2 points per game and about 46% shooting during those games on 0 days rest. So,
of course, that's completely irrelevant because there are no back-to-backs in the playoffs.
In the playoffs, there's not. But it just shows you what he's done this season and why he's the MVP. Now, obviously, look, I agree with Stan Van Gundy in that Dwight Howard should not be overlooked. He has been absolutely fantastic this season. If you look at the box scores that Dwight Howard's put up in the last 2 months, it's ridiculous. So the things that he's done offensively and defensively. Now, obviously, he's a better defensive player than Derrick Rose. So that part of the game, if you weigh it 50-50, Dwight Howard's got to be up here, and you're either number one or number two as the MVP. But Derrick Rose has done such good things for this team. Obviously, like we said, in the clutch situations, times in which other players have been injured, he's been even better. So it's tough to say that Dwight doesn't deserve this award because he's had one of the best seasons I've seen from a big man in recent years. But Derrick Rose has been just a little bit better.
Rose has to have it. You convinced me earlier last week that Dwight Howard has to be number two, and you're absolutely right. And I would have Dirk Nowitzki number three. And then there's so many guys, Durant, Kobe, LeBron, Wade, that deserve credit here. But Derrick Rose is our MVP. Coach of the year, we're sticking with the Bulls and Tom Thibodeau. And I give it to him over Greg Popovich because Popovich, now we're seeing what he's been so lucky throughout the year. They've been so healthy. Now they're finally a little bit banged up and they struggle. They've lost three games in a row. But Thibodeau had to deal with the injuries to Boozer and to Noah. Rose stayed healthy, but the team had major injuries, and they still managed to get through it, and they're going to win the East, at least in the regular season.
If you look at the numbers, you know, we don't expect, or we didn't coming into the season, expect the Bulls to be one of the best defensive teams in the league, and the fact is they are. If you look at number two in opponent's points per game, number one in opponent's field goal percentage, number one in opponent's three-point percentage, and number two in opponent's assists per game, so they make it difficult on the, you know, the, obviously the point guard positions, and they just make it difficult for teams to score in normal ways. I don't think there's any doubt right now, like you said, seeing the Spurs struggle here towards the end of the year, I think Thibodeau's got to be the award winner here.
Rookie of the Year was even easier. That's Blake Griffin. 22.4, 12 rebounds, shooting 50%. 3.7 assists is pretty good. We would like to see those blocks go up, though, not even getting a
block. With that athleticism, you also need to block shots. There's no doubt about it. If you can jump out of the gym, get those block shots up, for sure.
Yeah. So we've got MVP Derrick Rose, Coach of the Year Tom Thibodeau, Rookie of the Year Blake Griffin. Most Improved Player has got to be Kevin Love.
Has to be.
Yeah.
Has to be. I mean, you know, if we look at the list of guys, obviously Derrick Rose might be on this list also, but you give him the MVP out of the equation here for Most Improved Player, and Kevin Love simply has stepped it up to another level. First player in the NBA to reach at least 20 points and 15 boards in a season since Moses Malone in 82-83. And think about the names we've had, Shaquille O'Neal, Tim Duncan, Dwight Howard. None of those guys did that. And no one in the NBA has averaged 15 rebounds in a season since Dennis Rodman in 97-98. Absolutely fantastic. He's not the biggest guy in the league. He can't jump the highest, but he does things, you know, from a hustling stance that just outweigh everyone else. And that is why he absolutely deserves this award.
Where could he possibly go from here? He has gotten so much better from one year to the next. And he's even hitting three-pointers now.
Yep.
And three-pointers, by the way, is something that Derrick Rose is doing very well. 112 three-pointers this season. He made a combined 32 in his first two seasons. So that's why I considered him for this award. But the shooting percentage went down a little bit too much this year. Yeah. Other guys, Darrell Wright's had a good year. JaVale McGee's had a very good year. Who else we got on this list? Michael Beasley. Tyler Hansbrough.
Big time improvement. But like you mentioned, JaVale McGee is a guy who I picked at the beginning of the year. Kind of a dark horse candidate. No one really even knew his name. But watching him in the preseason games with John Wall, you know, not a lot of guys who were in the league a couple of years play in preseason, but he wanted to get that relationship with John Wall built. And really just seeing his athleticism and seeing how he fit with John Wall, I knew that he would absolutely improve. I didn't expect him to be this good defensively. Now he's averaging, I believe, about 4 blocks per game over the last 5 or 6 games.
Yeah.
And he's just been a monster. So if he can improve and continue to improve next season, he'll be one of the better big men in the Eastern Conference, without a doubt.
Best block of the year by far.
Sick.
What he did to Wesley
Absolutely
Matthews.
Sick. The bleal, the block steal.
But it wasn't just that. It was the fact that he turned around and looked at him like, are you serious?
May
you even tried that on me?
Absolutely.
So we've got a couple more awards. Yeah. Defensive player of the year, not even worth debating. Dwight Howard should win that every year he's alive, even after he retires. Sixth man of the year. I went with Jason Terry. What do you think?
I agree with Jason Terry. He leads all reserves with an average of about 16.3 points per game right now. He's also averaging 4.2 assists. And he's a guy, you know, if you look at the makeup of the Dallas Mavericks, he's a guy that they kind of rely on, obviously, to pick up the scoring for that second unit. But he's also a guy down the stretch that they will go to in clutch moments. Now, obviously, Dirk's the number one go-to guy. But there are opportunities for Terry to hit big shots, clutch shots in games, and he absolutely is always there ready to hit a big shot, whether he had a lot of minutes during the game or whether he's just been playing sparingly. He's always ready to knock down the big shot.
And I think that's what separates him from Lamar Odom and Glenn Davis, other guys that we considered for this award.
Right.
But congratulations, Jason Terry. You are our sixth man of the year. And to recap our awards, Derrick Rose, MVP, Tom Thibodeau, Coach of the Year, Blake Griffin, Rookie of the Year, Dwight Howard is your Defensive Player of the Year, Kevin Love, Most Improved, and Jason Terry is the sixth man of the year, according to the CBSSports.com basketball podcast.
That's right.
Good job.
Full agreement for something that, you know, usually you want to have some debate. I really, like I mentioned, maybe Coach of the Year, there's some debate, but
You could lock
these up. Yeah.
That's the only debate.
I believe so.
Those two.
Yeah.
So looking around the NBA now, Greg, and there were some big games played over the weekend that gave us kind of playoff previews. With Jamie, we already talked about the Heat and the Sixers. I don't necessarily think it's going to be Heat-Sixers because the Celtics are playing so poorly right now. The Heat might jump them, get that 2 spot.
Yep.
But Memphis beat the Celtics and the Spurs in back-to-back games. And they could very well play the Spurs as the 1-8. That's what it would be right now in the Western Conference. They are a game behind New Orleans. So
it's another one. I expect them to get up to that 7 seed just based, obviously, on the David West injury with New Orleans. But we'll see how that ends up.
Yeah, but it's hard to take too much out of this game because look late in that game, and Marc Gasol, in this win for Memphis over the Spurs, hits a big turnaround jumper, huge shot. Who'd he hit it over? Matt Bonner.
Yeah.
So obviously right now, the Spurs have serious size issues without Tim Duncan. We're going to talk about the Spurs later when we look at the power rankings, but there are obvious concerns there. And the Grizzlies out-rebounded them 40-27. San Antonio and Memphis, they split 4 games this year. The home team won every game. If the Spurs can get healthy...
Well, yeah, the two games Memphis won in that series, Parker was out for the first, Duncan was out for the second. Obviously, if they're full strength, they're going to be favored to win.
What do you think about the Hornets now? No David West, Good thing they got Carl Landry. He tore his ACL, West. He's out for the year. But Landry filled in nicely. 24 points on 8 of 16 shooting in Sunday night's loss to the Lakers.
Absolutely. Carl Landry is very much a David West type of player. He's not going to get you shot blocks. He's going to get you probably about 8 rebounds per game. And then the scoring is certainly going to be there. So with Carl Landry, that trade, I mean, we talked about it, and I talked about him adding the depth to that team, you know, during the trade deadline. And definitely loved that trade when it first happened. Now that David West is out, huge trade for them. So obviously the scoring should remain about the same. Obviously depth issues are there.
Yeah.
If Chris Paul can continue to play as well as he's been playing ever since taking off the knee brace, there's certainly a chance that they'll keep that seventh spot. I expect them to stay in the playoffs, but the way Memphis is playing,
they'll stay in the playoffs.
They'll be a one seed. They'll be knocked out, you know, early, whether it's 4 or 5 games. Unfortunately, you know, obviously with Chris Paul and his talent and this part of his career, he needs to get to the second round, to the third round, and it's just not happening. So it's going to be an interesting story to see what happens with them in the future.
Oklahoma City's red hot. Thunder has won 9 out of 10 games and a very entertaining one on Sunday against the Portland Trail Blazers. Gerald Wallace went crazy.
Amazing game for
him. Yeah, he played
amazing
great.
Amazing game, and it showed why they traded for him, because
this isn't about the Blazers.
So
this is about the Thunder.
Let's go to it. No, I love it.
No, you're absolutely right. The Blazers needed that. He played great, but the Thunder still withstood
Fantastic.
It. And Durant, and you know, the other thing about Wallace is that he did a really nice job on Durant in the second half, and the Thunder still able to win that game. James Harden hit a big shot late in that game. Russell Westbrook was outstanding.
A guy you left off of your All-NBA teams, Russell Westbrook, really was fantastic at the end of the game. He hit a huge three-pointer that looked like a Chauncey Billups-style shot, but he actually made it, so it's not a Chauncey Billups shot.
Vintage
but,
Chauncey.
Absolutely great game. Both teams showed that they're ready for the playoffs, and it was a playoff atmosphere for sure.
Yeah, but I'm starting to worry about the Blazers. I see them now losing these close games to good teams. Is that going to be what happens to them in the first round if they play the Dallas Mavericks or the Los Angeles Lakers? Now, for the Thunder, they have won 9 out of 10, but it's been a very, very easy part of their schedule. Only 3 of those teams are playoff teams, and that would be Philadelphia, Miami, and Portland. So take it for what it's worth. 9 out of 10 isn't always 9 out of 10. And Vince Carter, I thought this was interesting, benched by Alvin Gentry, did not start in Sunday's game. The first time all season, he was not happy, did not talk to reporters. Good for Alvin Gentry.
Yeah.
Guy's not playing well
enough.
You
have to play your best players. Doesn't matter, you know, the marquee name. You need the guy that's playing the best basketball right now. And really, it's not Vince Carter. We've talked about him and why they traded him away from Orlando, the ups and downs that he has throughout seasons, whether or not you're going to get that full effort from him. That's the big question. So I think maybe this is something to just kind of push him a little bit more to say, all right, you know, you're here on the bench for a reason. Show me that you want to play and show me that you can obviously play at the level that we know you can, and you'll be back out there. But for right now, it's a message he's sending to Vince Carter, without a doubt.
Let's look at some of the players from around the league that aren't on good teams that are playing very well right now and need a little bit more recognition. Anthony Randolph. Have we finally seen something from Anthony Randolph? He had a dud against Boston on Sunday. Bad game. But 31-11 followed by 24-15 last week. Getting some playing time with Kevin Love hurt. And maybe in this whole Carmelo Anthony trade, we've talked about the Nuggets and the Knicks plenty. Maybe Anthony Randolph is a guy that doesn't get looked at, but will in the future. And people are going to look back at that trade and say, wow, Anthony Randolph was in that trade?
Yeah, we've been waiting for him to be healthy and to get minutes, that combination to come together. So finally, like you said, we're seeing the results. He's certainly a very talented player. We know that the talent is there, whether or not he can put it all together. But Minnesota is a good place for a guy to grow and to really see who this guy is as a player, because he'll get the minutes and he'll get the ball. He'll get plenty of touches and shots. So
and he'll lose.
Yes, obviously.
Jordan Crawford, with Nick Young out and now even with Nick Young back. Jordan Crawford, man.
Been playing great basketball.
Very, very well. Chris Humphries. This guy is hitting the glass. And it's a good thing he is for the Nets, because Brook Lopez is a pathetic rebounder. He has 2 combined rebounds in his last 2 games, including a big zero.
Last year he played very well. He hit the boards. Not sure what happened this year. Maybe Humphries is just overbodying him or just taking that effort.
I don't know, man. 15 rebounds per game in March for Chris Humphries. That guy is absolutely dominating on the glass. Marcus Thornton. Now a king, last 5 games for Thornton, 23 points, 25, 27, 15, and 32. And the last guy we wanted to talk about, JaVale McGee. We thought about him for most improved player, but Greg, over his last 8 games, he's shooting 58%, 4 blocks a game, 15 points, 11 rebounds.
15, 11, and 4 blocks. That, you know, if you can consistently put up those sort of numbers, that's all-star caliber for a big man. And, you know, obviously just made a name for himself off that dunk contest. Now people know who he is. Let's see what he can do next year.
So, yeah, we have to confess, we haven't only been watching NBA basketball lately. NCAA tournament's been going on, and it has been an awesome...
That's right. We do work at CBS Sports. Yeah. It's sort of a big thing here.
It's been a great tournament.
Been absolutely great. Close games pretty much nightly.
And I believe in Butler. They're really good.
VCU,
I'm not quite convinced. I think they're Cinderella.
You take down Kansas like that, that's pretty tough.
It was impressive.
Absolutely.
It really was. But I think Butler is legit. They are a better team than VCU. I expect them to win that game.
Right.
Now... we want to talk about guys and their pro potential. So let's take a look first at Jimmer Fredette. What did you think about Jimmer Fredette? What kind of a pro do you think he'll be? And we can't judge him too much on that game against Florida because he had the calf injury and he was clearly limping throughout that game. It was not an easy game for him and he struggled.
Even prior to that Florida game, doing a lot of reading on the thoughts around the league of what GMs and scouts think about Jimmer Fredette. Obviously, they know he can score the ball. He can shoot the ball from anywhere on the court. And he can create shots on his own, which is a big thing that you look for in a guy that can score. Other than that, he's a pretty decent passer. He does move the ball when he needs to, especially when defenses focus in on him. Aside from that, obviously, you want to know, can he play defense?
And he can't.
Right now, he's mostly sitting there in his zone, so he's not actively playing one-on-one defense. And the fact of the matter is, in the NBA, you are pretty much 99% of the time playing man-to-man defense. And for him to be able to guard the opposing team's two guard is going to be difficult. You know, whether or not you have someone that has a team that has a big point guard where you can maybe have him guard the point guard and your point guard guard the two of the other team, that might help, but he's got to be on the right team. He's got to have the right fit. He's certainly going to be able to contribute points. There's no doubt about that.
Let's sum it up like this. Is he Stephen Curry or is he J.J. Redick?
He's more J.J. Redick.
Much more J.J. Redick.
I absolutely agree.
He cannot be an impact player every night in the NBA like he is in college basketball.
But you give him enough minutes, he might blow up.
But he's not going to get enough minutes.
Depending on the team that he goes to. I mean, you look at it.
He'd be perfect to be on a team that just needs floor spacers. He'd be perfect as a J.J. Redick.
Yeah.
But he can't be a Stephen Curry.
No, I just don't think he has. Obviously, Stephen Curry has that point guard mentality also within his game. I don't see that anywhere for Dick.
Yeah.
He passes when he has to when the defense collapses on him.
Now, Kemba Walker is getting more and more interesting because he's making me into a believer. The shots he's hitting, man.
Clutch shots, the step back shots.
Yeah, but I don't know if he's going to be able to pull that off in the NBA.
Like you mentioned last week, who does he compare favorably
to? Yeah, he's Ben Gordon.
You look at Ben Gordon, right? And obviously he's not a point guard, and he's even smaller than Ben Gordon. So will he be able to play the point guard position in the NBA? Will he be on a team that needs him to be a pass-first guy, or can he get away with being a scoring point guard? That's the biggest thing. So with these guys, is the makeup of the team around them is really going to dictate how successful they are. But there's no doubt the guy is fearless, he's clutch, and those are the things that you want, obviously, in the mentality of your point guard.
He's a money player.
No doubt about it.
Absolutely. I'm a little skeptical about whether or not he can get out of the scorer's mentality in the NBA, because I just think in the NBA he's going to be a little bit too small to be a great scorer. So he has to be a pass-first guy, and I'm skeptical that he'll be able to do that. In fact, I would not take him number one. He's not being projected to go number one, but some of the guys like Jared Sullinger, Harrison Barnes is in the discussion. Derek Williams had a great tournament for Arizona.
Yeah.
Who do you think you would take number one?
Wow. You know what? I'd love to see more of Sullinger. I actually wanted them to get to the Final Four just so I could take a really good look at him.
Yeah.
But he seems right now to be the most polished of those guys. The other guys might have a higher roof. So I'm not sure, really, if you look at the workouts that they're going to have with these NBA teams. But right now, Sullinger seems to me to just be solid in all the parts, all the aspects of the game that you need him to be solid in. But for the most part, really any of those three guys that you mentioned, depending on the workouts that they put up and depending on the sort of things that they see, obviously in the offseason, it could be anything. It could be, it's definitely a toss-up. There's certainly guy has to be number one.
I think Kyrie Irving is just as good of a shot, and it's hard to make a judgment on him because he missed so much of the year. He wasn't really himself in the NCAA tournament. I would go with Sullinger. Sullinger struggled against Josh Harrelson in that Kentucky game. He had good numbers in the game, but when Harrelson was guarding him, it was different. He didn't play all that well, and he did some of his damage on the offensive glass and on some putbacks. So I think he was a little bit undersized against him, but he is a power forward. When you compare him to Derek Williams, he's got so much more size than Derek Williams. I think the same thing about Williams that I think about Kemba Walker. He's doing this so well in college, but in the pros, when there's bigger bodies around him, I think Derek Williams might be a little bit too small to be a true power forward, and he's certainly not a small forward.
No.
So I would go with Jared Sullinger. He's my favorite of that group. I think he's going to be a really solid player. Everybody's going to want to compare power forwards to Blake Griffin now. He's not Blake Griffin.
No.
But he'll develop a bit more of an outside game. I've seen him shoot some outside shots, and he can do that, Jared Sullinger. That's the guy I would go with.
More probably the comparison to make it the Marcus Cousins type, but without the attitude.
Yeah, not as tall.
Yeah.
But, and hopefully without the
way
attitude.
They play, certainly.
Yeah, he likes to scream, though. I don't know if you noticed that. Every time he gets a dunk, yeah. I mean, he screams like you can hear it through the telecast.
Yeah, you know, and the NBA might calm down a little bit, especially as a rookie.
You'd have to chill out. The Sacramento Kings, they want to move to Anaheim. Phil Jackson's not happy about it. Gregor Benn, are you happy about it?
I don't think the Lakers should be concerned about it. Well, I don't know why Phil Jackson's unhappy about it, but you know, it's a business.
I don't blame them for being unhappy about it.
Whatever makes the most business sense, whatever's going to bring in the most revenue. Obviously, things in Sacramento right now are not going well. You know, you need a better product, number one, on the court to bring in more fans. But the fact of the matter is, you know, is it going to destroy the NBA if they move to Anaheim? I don't see any negative reason, you know, to say that that's going to happen. So
could it destroy the Clippers?
They have Blake Griffin, right? So if they do the right things, if they make the right moves and bring in one or two more guys, they could be just as popular as the Lakers out there.
No, they can't be.
I wouldn't say just popular, obviously.
Maybe for like a 2-year stretch or
when
something.
When Kobe's gone and say Blake Griffin's the guy, and who knows, maybe they swindle Dwight Howard into coming out there.
Yeah, that's not happening.
It's certainly not going to happen, but if they're
so don't get people's hopes up.
Hey, you got to get their hopes up. What else is there if you don't have hope for the future?
Well, you hear that, Boston Celtics fans? You have to have hope. This is your time of year. Well, not March, but when the playoffs start. The calendar turns to April, things get a little bit better. But the Boston Celtics, I've been touting them. I've been saying, don't worry, don't worry.
Yeah.
Oh, I have to give
in. Every week for the last few weeks that they're still one of the five best teams, and you still expect them to make that jump in the playoffs. You said they're the Celtics.
I'm not ruling it out,
though.
I'm not ruling it out. I got to see Shaq come back. It's a huge thing for them. The centers are still eating them up. Even Darko Milicic on Sunday night had a good game against them. They were lucky to get him in foul trouble late in that game. So they are out of the power rankings. They've been out of
Out of mine for several weeks. Now
they're out of mine. So I'll let Urbano debut, or not debut, but I'll let you go first here. Let's start it off with your power rankings.
All right, so right now still the Chicago Bulls are number one in my power rankings, 53-19. They've won 4 straight and 15 of the last 17 games. On the season, this is an interesting stat. The Bulls have outscored opponents by 201 points in the fourth quarter. No other team has outscored its opponents by even 100 points in the final 12 minutes of a game. So really, you know, if you look at what they're doing in games, they get even better as they go on. They've got clutch players, so really the Bulls right now still at number one. Lakers are my number two team, 53-20. They've won 15 of the 16 games since the All-Star break. Kobe has averaged 36.3 in the last 3 wins. They're still certainly an outside shot at the number one seed, as we mentioned earlier. And out of their final 9 games, they play 5 current playoff teams, only one of them on the road, though. They go to Portland. Other than that, they play against Dallas, Denver, the Thunder, and the Spurs. And the other games are at Utah, against Utah in L.A., at Golden State, and at Sacramento. So certainly, they could win out the rest of the season. There's no reason to think they can't. The Miami Heat at 51-22 are my third team in the power rankings, won 5 straight and 8 out of the last 9. The big 3 have been even bigger than ever as of late.
Yeah,
and really,
but
the
rest
most part,
have been even worse.
Someone else has to knock down shots consistently. Expect them to grab the 2 seed from Boston very soon, though. The Spurs are my number 4 team, losers of 3 straight, all the Western Conference playoff teams. Obviously, the injuries to Duncan and to Ginobili won't help this team get rolling heading into the playoffs. And really, I still expect them to keep that 1 seed, even though we looked at the Lakers' schedule. The Spurs should still be able to win games here down the stretch, even without Duncan and possibly Ginobili. The Thunder are my 5 seed right now with 3 straight. They've won 9 out of their last 10 with Perkins in the middle. The Thunder defense has cut 10.5 points off their points allowed per 100% point.
Per 100 possessions.
So they've cut back, obviously, and allowing other teams to score, but their scoring has leveled up. It's just as good as it was before. And while the Lakers may have the most talented front court, I think the Thunder have the deepest front court in the NBA. And that's certainly with the talent you have in the backcourt is just fantastic to watch. This is a team that is ready right now for the playoffs, mainly because that addition of Kendrick Perkins, who is just ruthless and has added a new attitude to this Thunder team.
Yeah, it's tough to argue with. That's a solid power ranking.
Yes,
so you
sir.
Went Bulls, Lakers, Heat, Spurs, Thunder.
Yes, I did.
Think about the Spurs. They do have a 4-game cushion right now out in the West over the Lakers. But they play each other again. Mm-hmm. The game's in Los Angeles. Yep. And they have a very tough schedule, the Spurs. They have only 2 games left against sub-500 teams out of their 9. So I'll give you my power rankings. Very difficult because I didn't know what to do with the Spurs. Celtics I had to take out. They're just playing too badly.
Yep.
But the Bulls are number 1. Derrick Rose has been absolutely monstrous lately. The Spurs, I still have number 2 because I think that these injuries are not long-term things. I think they're going to be healthy when the playoffs come around, and I do think they will maintain that 1 seed, and they'll be all right. The Lakers are number 3. What else can you say? I mean, Ron Artest, 4 straight games over 10 points, shooting over 50%. And remember, for me, it comes down to that small forward position.
Absolutely.
Can they get production there? And they're getting it right now. The Heat, number 4. The Heat are playing very well in the fourth quarter right now. But if you remember a few months ago when we talked about them, we said, well, they're kind of letting teams hang around. They don't seem to be taking the first three quarters that seriously, and then they're turning it on. That's a dangerous pattern to get into, and it's not going to work in the playoffs. But for now, it's working, and they're rolling. And I have the Dallas Mavericks fifth. Yeah, the Thunder, the Celtics, and the Magic all get consideration there. Yeah. But I went with the Dallas Mavericks. Same reasons I've been liking them all year. Very deep team, athletic team. They can play different styles of basketball. Tyson Chandler in the middle. Dirk Nowitzki's awesome. Jason Terry's probably their X factor because he's going to shoot a little bit like J.R. Smith, not quite as volatile, and he's better.
In a seven-game series, Thunder versus Mavericks.
I'll take the Mavericks because they're going to have home court advantage.
Yeah, okay. The most interesting matchup there, Serge versus Dirk. That is going to be fantastic to watch if they do end up playing each other. Serge Ibaka will most likely be covering Dirk Nowitzki, and he's athletic enough to follow him out to the three-point line. Obviously, you want to keep Serge underneath the paint, but when you have Kendrick there, you don't need him in the paint. So Serge is just going to hound Dirk, and that is going to be an incredible matchup.
What would also be interesting is that without Caron Butler, who guards Westbrook in the fourth quarter? Because Jason Kidd cannot stay
in front of him. We get abused.
Yeah, they might have trouble guarding a guy like Russell Westbrook.
I still think the Mavericks take down the Thunder.
Would not shock me if they lost, but I would take Dallas. Okay. I believe in Dallas. I really like the way they're playing right now. No, that's our power rankings. We have four of the five same teams. I still have a little bit more faith in the Spurs than you do right now.
Yeah.
But I'm sure you think when they get healthy, they're...
Well, the thing is you want to, like I said, you want to go into the playoffs on a roll.
That is a myth.
Tell that to the Lakers.
It doesn't hurt to go into the playoffs on a roll.
They go into the playoffs hot, and they just wipe people out. First and second round. Obviously, first round, we expect Duncan to be healthy. But
tell that to the Celtics. Thank you. End of story. Tell that to the Celtics.
You love
the Celtics. Every year they struggle right before the playoffs, and then what happens? They go to the NBA Finals.
Yeah. Well, not every year. I remember
that
Cleveland got there. So.
Okay, yeah. And the year Orlando got there.
Exactly.
So not every year, but they still have good playoff runs. They don't need to be hot going into the playoffs.
We disagree on that point.
Oh, we finally disagree on something.
Fine, yes, we had the same exact thing.
Took like 40 minutes, but we disagree.
That works.
That's Greg Urbano. I'm Adam Azer. We're back next week with another NBA podcast. Thanks a lot, everyone.